Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. We're broadcasting this week from the Marital Rescue Department here at Car Talk Plaza.
Yeah, here's a letter we got from someone named John Steffi from Pennsylvania. You ready?
Oh, yeah, I'm ready.
Dear guys, I'm writing to thank you for your podcast, which presented me with a fantastic opportunity. My wife constantly complained that I couldn't do anything mechanical. I'm a CPA, for Pete's sake. What did she expect? Anyhow, my local NPR station repeats your show the following weekend. So one week, I got a brilliant idea. You can see it coming, right?
Yeah.
I listened to the podcast, wrote down all of the questions, and of course, all of your answers. Then I studied the list endlessly until I had committed it to memory. Got it?
I see.
Then I made sure we were in the car together when the repeat of your show aired. I casually tuned into the broadcast. She rolled her eyes and gave me that exasperated look that she got every time I walked through the house with a power tool. I nailed the first question.
Of course.
Telling my wife it sounded like the caller needed new ball joints. She told me I just got lucky. Then I properly diagnosed a new starter, a slipping transmission, and every other problem for the rest of the show. She was amazed and immediately showed me a renewed amount of respect.
He kind of overdid it a little bit.
Isn't that great?
Didn't he?
Of course, she ended up divorcing me a few years later. Anyhow, but I wanted to thank you guys for giving me most likely another 3 or 4 years with her before she came to the conclusion I was a complete loser. And left me for an unemployed former bait shop owner with a significant family trust fund. Sincerely, John Steffi.
Wow. Wait a minute. I thought you said that this letter was from the Marital Rescue Department. We didn't rescue him. He got dumped for a guy who sold worms.
Well, we gave him 3 or 4 years. What do I look like, Dr. Roots? What do you want?
You look more like Dr. Zorba, actually. Well, anyway, sorry, John. If you want us to try
it's
to rescue...
It's not funny.
No, it isn't funny. But if you want us to try to rescue your car, or well, maybe give you an extra 3 or 4 days, we're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Marina, I'm calling from Sunny Camp Fitch in North Springfield, Pennsylvania.
Marina.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Calling from where?
Camp Fitch in North Springfield, Pennsylvania. It's a YMCA camp on Lake Erie.
Oh, so you're a camp director?
Well,
counselor? Attendee?
My husband works here.
Oh.
Ah.
And we've been here for about 20 years.
What does he do?
He's a waterfront director.
Waterfront director.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Doesn't that sound good?
Yeah, it sounds real good. It sounds like something I'd be capable of doing, maybe.
Okay, you kids, jump in the water.
Right at front here. Stay right in front of the water and jump in.
All you kids who are floating, you're okay. The other guys flunk.
Oh, boy. So anyway, what's the nature of your call, Marina?
Well, I have this 1994 Jeep Grand Cherokee. It has about 150,000 miles on it, and I love this Jeep. But she's starting to make some noises. And I'm really hoping that you guys are going to tell me what's causing these noises. And
or tell you not to worry about them.
Or tell me that. That would be even better.
That would be
and
even
also
better.
Tell me that I have like another 100,000 miles.
Well, I'm sure you have another 100. What's a mere 250? It's only the distance to the moon.
Right. So go ahead. Let us in on the details.
Okay. Well, the first problem that she started to have is when I'm driving, and we live sort of in this area where there's a lot of stop signs, and as I'm slowing down to a stop sign, the anti-lock brakes will kick in. And this isn't in the winter. This is now. Okay. So I'll just be driving along, and all of a sudden, they'll kick in. That's the first thing. And then the next thing...
Before you jump to the next thing... When this has happened or any other time, does the ABS light ever come on?
Well, now, it came on one time, a long time ago, probably 3 months ago. It came on, and I was like, oh, no, turn the car off, and then I'll turn it back on, and as long as the light doesn't come on, we're okay. And it didn't come on, so I said that problem must be solved.
Right.
Got it. Okay, so that's problem number one.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Go to two.
Okay,
we'll see, because they may all be tied together, you know?
I'm thinking maybe. I don't know, though.
Oh, we may want to tie a big rock to your car and have it go in the waterfront director?
Yeah, by Lake Erie. We can just, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, your name is Marina. I mean, this is all fitting in, you know?
Yeah.
So go ahead, problem number two.
Okay, second problem is as I'm turning right, a hard turn to the right, it'll make this noise. It'll go like clunk, 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 clunk. And then as soon as I straighten out the wheel, we're done with the turn, it's fine.
Where does it sound like this noise is coming from?
Underneath the car, maybe on the right side passenger.
And it goes with the rotation of the wheel if you're going twice as fast? It's clunk, clunk, clunk?
Yeah.
Got it.
Next.
Okay.
How many of these we have?
Oh, well, just two. The other problems aren't anything that, well, the power windows don't work and, you know, the interior's a mess.
Yeah, no, we don't concern ourselves
not worried
with
about
those.
That.
Yeah, those are minor things.
Exactly.
Yeah.
My window works, so that's what's important.
All right. How deep is Lake Erie? I mean, I think it's important for us to know this.
Well, we've got access to the waterfront.
We do.
We know that.
In the cover of darkness.
And
because
we know the waterfront director.
Yeah.
Yeah, this might work out perfectly.
No, I don't think her problems are terribly serious.
Well, problem number one is easy.
That's very simple.
And cheap. I'm 99% sure you have a bad, well, more than one, bad
sensor.
ABS sensor.
Okay.
And it's very typical of vehicles of this ilk to have a bad sensor, and what it'll do is it'll trigger the ABS even though you're going at a speed that the ABS shouldn't be working at.
Okay.
It's telling the ABS that something's wrong, but it's wrong.
Okay.
So that's easy enough, and you may need more than one sensor. It could cost you a few $100.
But it's not.
But not the end of the world.
The end of the world.
No. Lake Erie's the end of the world. The other one is a little more serious. And probably needs a little more attention, but it sounds like you have an axle that's binding up in the front.
Okay.
So you need to get this into somebody.
Okay.
And while it's up in the air, they'll discover the ball joints that you need, too.
Okay.
Just a guess.
Okay, so you think it's reliable, though, for another, after I get those
fixed? Oh, yeah, after you spend, a few $1,000 on fixing all the things that are wrong with it, you'll be all right.
Okay.
See you, Marina. And don't forget, there's always Lake Erie.
Well, I know. And we do have a big winch.
Yeah.
Oh, so you won't need a winch, just a brick. See you later.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Do we call it a fall-back position or a fall-in position?
I think a fall-in position. We certainly don't want to suggest to people that they abandon their cars in places like Lake Erie.
We don't.
No. Yeah, salt water is better because they disappear faster.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in a couple of years, it'd be gone completely. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Ryan calling from Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Ryan.
Hello.
Hi, we're here,
how
man. We're here for you, Ryan.
I hope someone is.
What's on?
Well, basically, I went to get an oil change, and I got talked into something extra, and ever since then, people have just been making fun of me.
Ryan, you have a sympathetic ear.
So basically, I got talked into this, what they called an engine shampoo.
What are you, some kind of a joke?
Wait, whatever that sympathetic ear that I was just promised.
Well,
just a name like that. You're going to be a real sucker to fall.
Oh, come on.
Go ahead, elaborate.
All right.
Go ahead.
This isn't my defense.
Did you get the cream rinse too? Oh man. Go ahead.
Let's take it easy on him, will you?
We treated it lightly. Let's give Ryan time to explain himself.
All right, I'll present my case here. So basically, I go in there and I get the oil change, and I didn't go to a place that was recommended. I was just driving home and I needed to get it, and so he shows me the oil stick, and, it's got very dark oil, and he says, this oil is black. Hmm. So I say to him, okay, so what? And he says, well, I can give you an oil change, but what's going to happen is that this is a bad color for oil, and it's going to turn this color again very, very shortly. And in order to prevent that from happening, you really should get the engine shampoo.
Shampoo, yeah.
And then he said he did it with his own car, and, he's wearing, the mechanic outfit, and he had stain. It just seemed like he knew what he was doing.
Yeah, he's got the appropriate patches and all that. And
how much did he want for the shampoo?
And the scar tissue in the usual places.
It was, yeah, exactly. It was more than
the car was worth.
It was more than the car. It was more than the oil change. The oil change was like $26, and this was like $36.
Sounds like they shampooed your wallet at the same time.
everyone's reaction so far has been.
And how long ago did this happen?
Just not very long ago. 10 days ago.
So have you looked at the oil to see if it's black?
No, I haven't looked.
Don't look.
Okay.
I got to tell you right now, don't look. But does your car seem to have a sunnier disposition? Is it going out on more dates? I mean, what?
Well, at least it has an excuse if it doesn't want to go out on a date. It can say it's, you know, washing its engine. But no, it seems the same as it was before.
Yeah, and the truth is that when he showed you the dipstick with the black oil on it, that's the nature of oil. When it turns black, it means it's doing its job. It's holding dirt and carbon and other contaminants in suspension. And all those things get removed when you take that drain plug out and you put fresh oil in there. So, well, he didn't do any harm, if that's what you're worried about.
No, he just took $30 from you.
Six.
Right.
$36.
$36, yeah.
Plus the tax.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And did you get taken?
I guess I did.
Yeah. And are people going to laugh when you tell them?
And laugh again.
Don't
when
tell
they hear this. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't mention it to anybody.
Well, it's
else.
I guess it's the name.
Yeah.
It is. It's the name. I mean, if it had been something else, but a shampoo.
An engine shampoo.
If they'd called it a deep engine decarbonization process.
Right.
Yeah, I had a professor in college who taught a mathematics course, and the fellow's name was a very famous mathematician. His name was Giancarlo Rota.
And okay.
He was a visiting professor from Italy. And because his command of the language wasn't what it ought to have been, even though he had a tremendous mathematical mind, he chose for the name of the course The World of Mathematics.
Uh-huh.
And halfway through the semester, he asked for volunteers to come up with a better name for the course, he says, because it sounded too much Walt Disney.
And the engine shampoo sounds too much Walt Disney.
but at least you didn't get the blow dry, and your ego will recover from this.
That's true.
Yeah, but next time the cream rinse may be in order. See you, Ryan.
Yeah, thank you so much, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Boy, oh boy.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, this is Eric from San Diego.
Hey, Eric, what's going on, man?
Hey, I've got a 1995 Toyota Camry that I took in to check out a CV boot just to a local shop. And while it was up, the guy noticed that I had a leak in my intake gasket. He told me $400 or $500 later he could switch it out. So I went for it, and I got it replaced. And I drive the car home. Next day, I start it up, and I look in my rearview mirror, and there's a big plume of smoke coming out. And it was just one sudden burst of smoke, and it seems to happen every time I drive the car, let it sit for a few hours, and then start it up again, a plume of smoke comes out.
What color?
I would say it's not blue, it's not black, it's like a grayish-white.
This manifold leak that you had, what was it leaking?
It was leaking motor oil, and it was really minor. It was dripping. He said my ball joints and stuff would wear out if enough oil got around in my motor, so I just went ahead and fixed it.
Huh?
Yeah.
What language was that?
Was his boat parked next to the garage, or was it behind the garage?
Or was it in the water?
Yeah.
Well,
did he have the boat shoes on?
Was he ready to go?
And the little Greek fisherman's cap. Those are dead giveaways sometimes. Yeah, I mean, if you had a little leak that wasn't causing any hardship.
I should have left it.
There you go.
Yeah.
I know it now. I know it now. And
so you spent $400 to fix this manifold leak.
Yes, sir.
Which, by the way, is probably fixed.
Right.
And what else did you do?
That's it. I drove it home, and now every time I wake up in the morning, start my car, a plume of smoke comes out. I took it back to the place, and they said now that they've sealed the top part of my motor, oil's being pressurized down to another area.
Ah!
Doesn't make sense to me.
No,
no,
was,
it doesn't
was,
make sense
was
to
he
me
whistling? Oh, God. Well, you know, it may be completely unrelated to what he did.
Okay.
You may have now a blown head gasket.
Mm. Oh.
And the only way to ascertain if you have a blown head gasket is to have a test done. But I wouldn't have. His explanation was bogus, by the way, about the pressure and all that.
Yeah.
Take it to some other shop, leave it overnight, What they will do is they'll run the engine and get it hot and pressurize the cooling system and try to maximize the amount of coolant. What I think is happening is coolant is getting into one of the cylinders.
Oh.
So if they pressurize the system with the engine hot and then let it sit overnight, they might be able to get enough coolant in one of the cylinders so that the engine will hydrolock.
Okay.
So when they turn the key to start, it'll go,
it won't go because it's full of fluid.
And the way to get that fluid out then is to take the spark plug out and blow it out. And if that's the test and it fails that test, then you need to have the head gasket replaced.
Okay. I mean, when I looked at my motor, when I picked up the car, the guy was missing hose clamps and stuff. He had to go to the shop, pull out more tools, and screw stuff in. I was like, that can't be right. I know that wasn't like that when I left the car.
Yeah. So he was heading right down to the marina, man. His thoughts his thoughts were on the high seas. He was whistling that sailor's hornpipe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I appreciate your time, Tom and Ray. You guys are awesome. I've been listening to you guys for years, and I'll keep on listening.
Good luck, Eric. Call us when you get the new car.
I will. Have a good day, guys.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, Tommy. Now that summer's here, your memory must be warming up. Do you happen to remember last week's puzzler?
I don't think my memory's up to operating temperature.
You know what you need? A blockhead heater. We'll be back in a minute. And even though the good humor man heaves a box of frozen strawberry shortcakes at his radio whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if you're a prison warden and need to send inmates running back to their cells.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to talk, of course, about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler.
Okay, go ahead.
Anyway, this came from Rob, somebody or other, who used to work for Applied Logic, because that's what his email address says. And I'd say used to, because I'm sure he's since been fired for writing personal email on company time.
Of course.
Anyway, he writes, my wife owns a 92 Olds Achiever with a quad 4 engine, 5-speed manual transmission, and power everything. One morning, as she's headed to work, she comes back into the house and says her car won't start. I go out and listen as she tries to start the car, and zippo, not even a click. She's in a hurry, so she takes my car. So I put the battery charger on her car, and later in the day, I go out and I start it right up. I drive it around a bit to charge the battery. Everything's fine. The next day, the exact same thing happens. Right? She turns the key, zippo. I visit a website, and I find instructions for determining if there's a drain on the battery and all that. And I do the test. I find out there's no drain. So I go out and buy a new battery and put it in. Same problem. So we push the car out of the garage, and I jump it with my car. I turn the key, and it starts right up.
Yeah.
And I drive her car to the dealership, and she follows in my car. Hours later, they say they can't find the problem. So we leave it there overnight, figuring this is an overnight problem.
Mm-hmm.
The next day, my wife gets in with her keys, turns the key, and it won't start at the dealership, even though they said it was all right. At which point, I ask her, did you just buy something for your car? She says, yes. And the question is, what did she buy that was preventing her from starting the car?
I have to say that
this is
you obfuscated this one really beautifully.
Well, I didn't. I mean, Rob did.
You helped.
A little bit.
You helped. Yeah, no, it's well done. Very well done. In fact, I will say that you did throw in a hint toward the end there that was unnecessary.
I did?
You said she got in the car again with her keys. And you didn't have to say that. You just said she'd get in the car and it wouldn't start.
Oh, see,
you could have been even more.
I really obfuscated it because you got the wrong answer.
Great! It was a red herring.
What she had bought for her car on Rob's Applied Logic
credit
card. Let
me guess. Air freshener.
Floor mats.
Floor mats?
Yes, way back in the beginning, like about an hour ago, I mentioned that she had an old Achiever with a quad 4 engine and a 5-speed manual transmission. And because she has a manual transmission,
she has
attached to her clutch pedal.
You didn't mention that she was short.
I didn't mention that she was
short. That would have been the hit.
Unnecessary. She has a starter inhibit switch, and that is a switch located on the clutch pedal, mm-hmm. which prevents the starter from engaging unless the pedal is depressed all the way to the floor.
Right.
And when she put the carpet in, the new rugs in, it prevented her from pushing the thing far enough down. But when Manly Rob, who works, did I mention, for Applied Logic?
Used to
work for Applied Logic, mm-hmm. got in with his big legs.
Yeah.
He had no trouble mashing this pedal to the floor. And as it was the case, the guys at the dealership didn't have a problem either.
Hey, Neanderthals.
Right.
Lucky they didn't go right through the floor.
And when it didn't start, they just pushed the pedal even harder.
Sure.
And the new floor, so all she had to do was cut a piece off of the floor mat or pull it back a little bit, and voila, the car started. All the hints were there.
I think it's great.
And Rob has a new career in the floor mat sales now, installation,
since
he lost his job.
It's great.
And who's our winner?
The winner is Cheryl Spencer from Old Town, Maine. That's a nice name, Old Town. And for having her answer selected at random from among those two correct answers that we got, Cheryl wins a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com, with which she can get any of our fabulous Car Talk CDs.
What if we don't have any fabulous CDs?
Then she can get any of our El Stinko CDs.
We have plenty of them.
We have plenty of them, right.
Anyway, we'll have a brand new
puzzle
from the Train series.
The Amtrak collection.
That puzzle will be coming up in the third half of today's show, so stay tuned for that if you'd like. In the meantime, you can call us and ask us questions about your car or anything else. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255.
Hello. You know what that number is in binary? Have we ever used this?
Yes, we have.
I had it here. 1-0-0-0-1-1-0-0-1-0-1-0-1-1-1-1-0-0-0-1-1-0-1-1-0-1-1-1-1-1-1. Call that number. On your digital phone, if you will.
Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Babette Gear. I'm calling from Kansas City, Missouri.
Wait, Babette?
Uh-huh, Babette Gear.
Babette Gear.
Mm-hmm.
Is that one name or two?
That's two.
Babette. So are you like German or what?
No, it's a French name.
Oh, is it?
But I used to live in Germany.
Oh, see, how did I know? But are you French?
No.
Where'd you get the name Babette?
How did I get the name?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, I hate telling this story. My mom is a Price is Right fan, and she was pregnant with me watching The Price is Right one day, and there was a contestant named Babette, and she liked the name so much, she named me Babette.
Well, that's good. That's an interesting story.
Well, not really.
You'd think your mother would give a little more thought to it, though, wouldn't you?
She didn't even give me a middle name because, well, I guess there wasn't another cool-named contestant.
Babette's good.
She should have watched the Let's Make a Deal. Maybe she could have gotten another name out of that.
Yeah, Monty. Babette Monty.
Babette Monty.
Monty's, I always wanted a name like Monty.
Monty's good, yeah.
Yeah, Monty's good. I'm going to change my name.
I already changed mine to Dante.
Oh, we know.
Yeah. So, Babette, what's up?
Well, here's the situation. I have an 84 Honda Accord, and it has 170,000 miles on it.
Wow.
And it has arthritis.
Really?
And I need to fix that, and I don't know how. And what happens is when it rains or snows or there's any precipitation, when I'm driving on the highway, it just, like, I'm pressing the gas, but then it just slowly
decelerates.
Go. And so if I pull over and stop the engine for about 5 or 10 minutes, then it'll work fine for a while, but then it keeps doing it again. Well, I have a rebuilt motor in it. I have a new fuel pump. I changed spark plugs. I've got tune-ups. I've taken it to 50,000 mechanics, and nobody can figure out what's wrong with it.
Bummer.
Only happens in rain or snow.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be cold rain. It can't be warm rain. It won't happen in July if you get a thunderstorm.
Is that true?
That's true.
I think it does.
Make it true, because it'll facilitate the answer.
It's going to make the answer possible. See, we could give you a wrong answer if you answer no to this question.
It happens more so in cold weather.
Yeah, and we'd be very content to give you a wrong answer, as we are with most of the other people that call.
But we know the right answer.
Wrong answers are our specialty.
Well, all I've gotten were a wrong answer, so please help me out.
Okay.
Yeah, well, but this car has a carburetor.
Yes.
It has a carburetor.
Yes. Yeah. You are suffering from a condition known as iron poor blood.
Iron poor blood. That's different than arthritis.
It is out there.
You have carburetor icing.
And carburetor icing.
Yeah. And it's caused by a mixture of cool air and
moisture.
Water vapor collecting in the throat of the carburetor and actually freezing in there. And impeding the flow of air and thus gas into the engine and making the car run poorly and ultimately stall out. When the thing does stall out, within a matter of a few seconds or maybe a minute, the ice melts because of the heat of the engine that's present. And then the thing starts up and runs fine again until it re-ices.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's what's happening, you drive along, the thing starts to sputter and lose power. You pull over for a few minutes when you realize you cannot go any farther. You sit there. You restart the thing, it starts up, it runs great, you get on the highway, you get up to 60 miles an hour again until it reoccurs. Is that pretty much what happens?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
Carburetor icing.
Carburetor icing. So now you want to know, well, how do I fix this? The answer is, you don't.
Well, you can, actually. The air cleaner has a snorkel with a gate in it, and the gate is supposed to divert warm air from the vicinity of the exhaust manifold into the carburetor when the engine is prone to carburetor icing.
Yeah. I mean, and this happens mostly to old cars because the mechanism
don't have carburetors.
And also, the mechanism by which the warm air gets to the carburetor has not worn out yet and has not fallen off, but it has probably on your car.
Mm-hmm.
You say you've been to 25 different mechanics, but I'll bet you...
No, I said 50,000.
Oh, 50,000.
Oh, yeah.
I'll bet you they have all been under 30 years old.
Oh, no.
You got
my mechanic, he's a good guy.
How old is he?
He's probably in his 50s.
Senile.
Senile,
too
right.
Too old. You got to go for 40s.
You got to catch me out. Between 42 and 48. After 48, yeah. That's it.
There's a very small window here. They get too old, they get senile from, don't forget, they're breathing in carbon monoxide their whole lives. By the time they're 48, they're done for.
Right. If they're younger than 42, they don't know enough about carbureted cars, so they will not have seen this problem.
So now, I need to get a mid-40s mechanic.
Look for a mid-40s mechanic. Tell him that you are pretty convinced that your car is suffering from carburetor icing and ask him to check all the pieces that prevent carburetor icing. If he doesn't know what those are, he's the wrong guy.
Tell him to find out if the stove is still there and if the blend door works and the thermal vacuum switch works. Those three things. Did you write that down?
Stove, the blend door, and the thermal vacuum?
There you go.
Okay.
If he scratches his head and doesn't know what these things are, go to one of the other 49,000 guys.
Okay.
See you, Bebette.
Thank you very much.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Good luck.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Gus. And I'm from Scotch Plains, New Jersey.
Gus?
Gus.
Yes, that's me.
I mean, is your real name like Augustus? Or
no, it's Gus. It's the name I chose for myself when I became a citizen.
Really?
Yes.
What? Did you emigrate from, like, Manhattan?
I'm from Amsterdam, the Netherlands.
Really?
Oh, so you came here when you were
5
12.
Years old.
Five.
That's why I do not speak Mitter accent.
Yeah,
from Amsterdam.
Our fair city.
And so, you chose Gus as a name.
Well, it used to be Gus with two U's, and it's pronounced hoos, which most people can't say because you will have to clear your throat in a particular way when you say it.
Oh, that's good in New Jersey. Is Hughes going to the movies with us?
I come from a long line of Flemish painters.
Oh, so you...
Gus, with two U's, what are those Dutch people thinking?
Well, that's why I'm here. I don't want to be associated with them anymore.
So anyway, Gus, from Scotch Plains, New Jersey.
Yes.
What's up, man?
I have an 82 GMC pickup truck, just a standard plain vanilla pickup that I inherited from a friend.
What size engine?
It's a six-cylinder engine.
Six-cylinder.
But here's the problem. It won't shift into park. Now, it sounds very easy, but before you give me the easy answers, I've already disconnected the linkage, done all the proper adjustments, and we put the transmission in neutral. And the transmission does go into park if you lay underneath it and switch it into place.
Oh, you can do it from underneath, but you can't do it from inside the truck.
Now, I can monkey with the linkage and get it to go into park, but then my only options are park, reverse, and neutral. And since I don't run demolition derby for a living,
that's
it's
an
not
interesting
a good
set of options.
Now, here's what else I've done.
Okay.
I've completely disassembled the steering column,
mm-hmm.
and I can't find anything wrong.
Wow.
Well, this thing has a linkage that runs, it has a bar that runs from the shifter.
That's right.
That comes through the firewall.
Exactly.
And it runs down to the transmission.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow I've got to believe that the geometry here is wrong. Something has moved. Either the frame on this thing is twisted, or there's not enough adjustment you can put into this thing to get into park to push that.
No.
So
could it be the motor mount or the transmission
mount? Sure could be.
Yeah.
Sure could be.
Ah.
Sure, it could be a bad motor mount, a broken motor mount. It could be something. It's got to be something that's bent or out of position.
Ah, so I've got to look at the transmission mounts at the engine mount.
The whole thing, the engine and transmission may have just moved back by some amount.
Ah.
Yeah, now I was going to suggest a creative solution. It's going to be too hard to fix. I mean, otherwise the thing runs okay.
That's wonderful.
Okay, how's about this?
A creeper. You get out of the vehicle, and real fast, you slide underneath and you throw it in park.
Well, no, if you cut a hole in the floor in just the right spot.
Yeah.
Right.
You're going to make yourself, Gus,
right,
a homemade floor shift for this, which will consist of clothespins, rope, coat hangers.
Actually, it's very simple to do.
Yeah, actually, you could buy a kit and put a floor shifter on this thing.
That's what I should do. Huh?
That's what you should do, and forget about the column shift. I mean, you should obviously look to see if the motor mounts are broken or if any of the frame is busted. You know, if you had a broken weld or something, everything could be all out of whack. And with a vehicle this age, anything could be wrong with it.
Of course, now the other problem is I've got that whole steering column apart. I never knew there were so many springs and things.
Oh, never get that.
Yeah,
right,
but you'll be surprised at how many of those pieces are unnecessary.
How about that when I reassemble it, I have enough to build another half a steering column.
Just tell me, when you took it, since you took it apart, have you blinked?
Oh, too many times.
Yeah, forget it. It's hopeless.
Yeah, phone hasn't rung or anything like that. The phone rings, you're done
any,
for.
Any interruption, forget it. You'll never get it back together.
In fact, if you read the book, it tells you to empty your bladder before commencing work on the steering column. Because any interruption and you're done for.
I have to admit, when I started taking the steering column apart, that happened naturally.
Yeah. Gus, I wish you the very best.
Check out the motor mounts. If they're okay and you can't figure it out, you can have a mechanic cut a hole in the floor and you can put a floor shift in.
Okay.
And it'll be great. You'll love it.
Terrific.
And it'll look cool, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
See
then
you,
have
Gus.
To get glass packs.
I can see it now. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You can actually do it with, like, a broom handle and a couple of
Rope clothespins. You know, some old hangers. You could do it
that way.
You
could, actually. It's not rocket science.
No, I mean, it really
isn't. Rocket science.
Okay, our producer wants us to take a short break now and prepare for the rest of the show. He says it'll be better if we cram.
He didn't say cram. He said scram. The rest of the show will be better if we scram.
Oh, okay. We'll be back in a minute.
I got a light blue Caddy with a 455. I'm cruising around. Yeah, I'm feeling alive. And although she's one big dent, I am quite content with my 78 Cadillac. She's got rust around the door and a Watson bar. You can see the road right through the floor. And although she's a bit too wide, she keeps me satisfied. She's my 78 Cadillac. Now you can cruise down Main Street. You'll hear the engine roar. You press on the gas, no, she won't give you more. I've got something to say. She beats a new car in a day. My 78 Cadillac.
And even though text messages select NPR and then type ENUF whenever we say it, this is NPR. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler.
Automotive in nature? Folkloric?
It's folkloric. It's historic. It's
lousy.
It's locomotive in nature.
Locomotive, but not automotive. Is it semi-automotive? Quasi-automotive?
Yes, master.
Yeah, go ahead.
This came from someone named Tim Sullivan, and I don't know if the facts are correct, but the flavor of it is so good that it makes no difference if the particulars are right.
You go, would it make any difference to the answer? Sure,
no.
Of course.
He writes, years ago when railroads used steam locomotives, the Baltimore and Ohio Railroad, we remember it well. The old B.O., exactly, had a busy freight line running south from Rochester, New York.
Yeah.
Okay, hence the name Baltimore and Ohio, Rochester, New York.
You got to go through.
You got me? With me so far?
Yeah. Why do you have to go through? Never mind.
He writes, single locomotive of the 282 type, which has... steam locomotives had two wheels in the front, which didn't do much of anything.
Yeah.
Okay. Eight wheels behind those, which were the drivers, four on each side.
Yeah.
And then two wheels in the back, which didn't do much except support the
weight. Hold up the train.
They're holding up the train.
Oh, really? So that's how they refer to them?
Yes.
282?
Right.
5 minutes already.
Two lead wheels, eight drivers, and two trailing wheels.
Yeah.
Could handle a train of 80 cars.
Okay. A 282... 282, 80 cars. I've got that now. Okay. Fully loaded, of course. Why would you bring them empty and take them back?
Well, sometimes they're empty, but most of the time they're full. But you're ready for this?
Yeah.
On this particular run, it couldn't make it with 60 cars. It had to have 80.
Oh, I thought it was the other way around, that it couldn't make it with 60. It had to have 59.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. It had to have 80.
It had to have more cars. And the hint is there's something unusual about...
Something south of Rochester.
About the run between Rochester and wherever it was going.
Baltimore.
Maybe Baltimore. Who knows?
So it normally could...
Figure that out. Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard or a complete set of 1869 Waterford Crystal Rhone Valley Goblets. And send it to...
Actually, well packed. Put it in all
you
that.
You can just write it on the box.
Yeah.
You pack the
Waterford
Crystal.
Pack it very, very carefully because that stuff is very delicate.
And send that answer to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our Fair City.
Matt 02238. Or you can email your answer from cartalk.com if you'd like to call us. The number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 88-82-27-82-55. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jim from Seattle, Washington.
Hey, Jim, what's going on?
Well, I drive a piece of junk, a reliable piece of junk, though. It's a 1988 Subaru GL wagon.
An 88?
Somebody stole my stereo about a week and a half ago, and now my car won't start.
Your car won't start.
It has no spark. And I've done a lot of the stupid easy stuff, and it still doesn't start.
And how'd they get into the car?
There may have been a door open.
Okay.
Or they may have broken into it so nicely that I didn't notice how they did it, because it's been broken into before.
Yeah, and you probably weren't too concerned about locking this car.
No, maybe. Not really. Not really.
So they entered the usual way. They opened the door.
Right. Right.
So they stole the radio.
Stole the radio.
And you knew that because you saw all the wires hanging.
But it was an easily stealable stereo. It was pretty much didn't work, and so it was half hanging out anyways. The best part is they got nothing, but they ruined my car somehow.
Well, but you think they ruined it at least. So you got into the car upon noticing that the radio was gone. You tried to start it, and right then it wouldn't start?
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
And then I filled it up with gas, thinking they stole the gas.
Wait, did it crank?
It cranks, yes, it cranks.
Okay.
We got cranking. We have no spark.
Okay. No spark. And we know you have gas now because you filled it up with gas.
That's right.
Jeez, I mean, it could be that they... 88!
Well, 100 years old. I'm working on it, but I really have no recollection whatsoever.
Well, it could be that somehow or another, I mean, in their... maybe they were trying to steal something else besides the radio. Maybe the radio was a cover.
Right.
Maybe what they were after was some relays, you know, like your fuel pump relay or something. Who knows? And there's hardly any wires they could have disconnected or cut in that vicinity.
I think it's a chance of something failing at the same time.
No.
Well, maybe they tried to steal the car, and they said, what are we, crazy? Let's just take the radio. I think the radio is worth more than the car.
I think that might have been the case.
Yeah.
So if in fact they tried to steal the car, it may be that they cut some wires at the ignition switch.
And here's the part that's going to make it even worse for you.
Yeah.
I've done a test light on the starter coil.
And it lights up.
And it lights up to the posts, but it doesn't light up to the...
Right, the high voltage wire doesn't get anything. Yeah. Well, that's why you got no spark. Okay. And it could be completely coincidental. If I'm not mistaken, this thing still has a distributor.
That's right.
Unfortunately, you're going to need the book to you know, there's no one wire I can say, oh, yeah, hook up the red wire to ground and it's going to start up. So you're going to have to go and get the book and follow the steps that says engine cranks, won't start. And you start... And no spark, and you're going to just follow down A, B, C, D, E, da-da-da-da-da, and you'll figure it out.
Okay.
And if you don't, get the paper and start looking for another car.
Right. I live on a hill, and so I could just take the brake off it.
And just let it go, baby.
Send it on its way, yeah.
Good luck, Jim.
Thanks a lot.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Alicia in San Francisco.
Hi, Alicia.
I have a 91 Saab 9000 turbo, and my mechanic replaced the alternator about 3 months ago. And it's starting to make this noise when I start up, kind of like a...
That was great.
I love
great.
It. Can we hear that again? Because that was good.
Thank you.
One more time.
So this is when you turn the key.
It's when I turn the key, and then it starts fine.
It starts after that noise?
Well, it starts, and that noise is over it.
Ah. So it is taking place at the same time that you are holding the key to the crank position.
No, I think
even after you let go, yeah.
It's like maybe 2 or 3 seconds.
Yeah, okay. Now make the sound again. I love it. I mean, this is a rock band.
Oh no, this has a definite Eastern flavor to it.
There's another problem too.
Good. I was hoping so.
Well, this other specific problem is that the mechanic said, hey, take it back anytime there's a problem. But I inadvertently went out on a date with him.
You inadvertently went on a date with him?
I had to go somewhere, and I was really hungry, and we were talking. And he said, oh, there's this food right here. And I said, okay, I'll eat some food.
Oh.
And I paid for my own meal. You know, but I'm not going on dates, and so...
And so, you sworn off dates?
Yeah, and so he asked me out again. He called me up and said, "Hey, how's everything going? By the way, so I don't want to bring it back to him, even though
thinking maybe, just maybe, that somehow he introduced the jungle, the dung gung, the bing bong, the bing noise, so that you would have to keep in touch with him. Because the first thing he asks you is, "How's the car?" And he says, "Well, what can you say? It's fine? No, it's going zoom, ba da ba bing, ba bing, ba da boom, ba da bing, ba bing."
If you say it's fine, he'll say, "It is."
He's very, 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 very nice.
He's very nice.
He's very nice.
Yeah. As are you, I'm sure. So what did you have when you went out to eat?
It was like Korean food, I think. He ate some soup.
Oh, yeah, bim, bam, bop. That was the noise that your car's making.
What are we talking about? Oh, the sound of your car.
So, should I bring it back? Is that a bad noise? Is something bad going to happen?
Well, for one thing, it probably has nothing to do with what he did already. It's unlikely that the alternator job could have resulted in this wonderful noise.
Because this noise goes away after a few seconds, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. This is an automatic or a stick shift?
It's a stick.
It's a stick shift car.
Hmm.
Well, I tell you what it's most likely to be.
Yeah.
It's most likely to be something called the starter drive.
Uh-huh.
The gear on the end of the starter motor is spring-loaded and is designed to retreat away from the flywheel once the flywheel reaches a certain speed and ejects it, so to speak, or you've released the key. But sometimes, whether you've released the key or not from the crank position, that starter motor gear will stay engaged with the flywheel, and it's not designed to turn at many hundreds of RPM, which is what's happening when the engine is going fast. So I'm guessing
this will be easy to determine, because if someone is standing there and listening under the hood while you crank it, then it'll be immediately obvious.
Yeah, and I'm guessing, if anything, you need a new starter motor.
How much is that?
Oh, that's at least 7 Korean meals.
Including tip.
Yeah. Yeah, is this guy starting to look a lot better now?
No.
And I don't know if he sabotaged. He couldn't have sabotaged your starter.
No,
right?
He's so nice.
No, he's
such a good guy.
Well, you know, I will tell you one other thing that could be related to this.
What?
Well, we've had a lot of trouble with the belt tensioners on 9000s not doing their job. And it could be that, in fact, by taking the belt off, which he had to do when he replaced the alternator, if he put a new belt on there, which is likely when he put a new alternator in, that it may be, in fact, that you're hearing the tensioner failing.
Oh.
And that could be it, too. So you should ask him to look at that. But if it's not the belt tensioner or a loose belt, then you might want to ask him to investigate the possibility that it's the starter motor.
Okay.
But it's a 91. I mean, it could be anything.
Yeah.
And does he like other foods besides Korean? Because tell him you're getting tired of Korean food. And you'd like to branch out a little bit. But I got a funny feeling, one way or another, you're going to be seeing a lot of this guy.
Oh, no.
See you, Alicia.
Take care.
Take care.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, my name is Steven. I'm calling from Chapel Hill.
Hey, Steven, what's going on?
Well, I've got a bet with a friend of mine. We were having some drinks the other night, and
That's how it always starts.
Well, she's got the next round if I'm right.
Okay.
So, the bet is...
Was any arm wrestling involved?
No.
Okay, just checking.
So the bet is, I heard somewhere, and I think it's actually viable, that if you purchase your gas at a cooler time during the day, like in the morning or the evening, that you're going to get more of your money's worth, considering the fact that gas is measured in volume, and that in the cooler temperatures, it's more dense.
Sure.
That's true.
Sure.
That's
true. In other words, if you took a container of gasoline and left it in the hot sun and it couldn't evaporate, and then you took another container of gasoline and had it in the shade, where the temperature differential might be 50 degrees.
Right.
And then you siphoned off a gallon of that hot gasoline, there'd be fewer molecules, fewer hydrocarbons in there. Right?
And this would amount to about a tenth of a penny in terms of how much you'd be gaining by buying your gas at the right time of day. So whoever won, big deal.
Well, we don't know exactly how much of a difference it makes.
Hey, all that matters is that I'm getting free drinks out of this.
So you think buying your gas in the morning is advantageous, right?
Right.
Yeah, because as opposed to the afternoon. Now, understand that the tanks are underground. And the tanks hold thousands of gallons of gasoline.
Right.
And when you put something in the ground like that, the temperature usually doesn't vary much from about 50 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yeah.
But what you're saying here is when the gas is cooler, it's more dense.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Ashley, you owe me drinks.
Yeah, I would say so. How much denser is it? We can't tell you for sure, but it has to be denser.
And it may not be true at all about what actually goes from the tank underground through the thing that measures how much gasoline is going into your tank.
Right. It may not have enough time.
It may not have enough time to change.
But I think you're theoretically you're right, but I think practically, I think my brother's right in that it might not make much of a measurable difference.
Okay.
But so ideally, gasoline should not be measured in volume, but rather by weight.
Yeah,
that would be fair, right?
Yeah.
So you'd buy gasoline by the pound.
Yeah, I'll take 5 pounds of gasoline.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. I don't know if it's cool or not, but good luck, Steve.
All right.
Get yourself a mojito, something real good.
Actually, that's her drink of choice.
There you go.
How did you guess that?
I don't know. Good luck, man.
All right, thanks.
High five.
Why do people sit around and even think about such stuff?
It must be us.
What?
Somehow our presence is encouraging these nuts.
No, they didn't think of us until after they came up with the question, and then they said, I don't think so.
I don't know. I think we're responsible for more of these nutso questions than you could ever imagine. Anyway, it's happened again. You've squandered another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug, the subway fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David, the crotch chaff of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Nix, and Catherine Frau Blucher. Fenelosa, our web lackey is Doug, the old gray mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Chevy Chase, bouillabaisse, lamb chop brace, veal milanaise, mayonnaise, chocolate lace, and tarte d'Alsace, stuff your face, happy place, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Novera. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our Ralph Cramden impersonator from the Dubai office is Mohammed Ahmed Ahmed Ahmed. Our physics graduate student is Laura Vernersha. Our undergarment inspector is IC London. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. And the head of our Working Mother Support Group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is U. Lewis Dewey, known to the PhD latte makers in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And don't drive like my brother.
And don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1126, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, how to turn your old car into something useful.
Are we talking like Chia Pets here?
No. Vehicle donation.
That's right. Donating the car to this station.
Exactly.
Now, the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program is the only place where you can turn, say, a 98 Camry with no hubcaps into an episode of Morning Edition.
Can you turn my 77 Fiat into anything?
Sure, anything but a car. Every day we're turning old cars into the programs that you love. Find out how you can participate right now over at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though the NPR grounds crew cuts mosquito-sized holes in our window screens whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.